Well, all kinds of great things going on around here. So we encourage you, check out that bulletin, jump on board. Young adults, you see the study starting tonight? Really good opportunity to jump on there. Men, all these great things coming up in terms of just different things, including this conference coming up this Saturday. Just so many things. So be a part of it. Be a part of it. Well, we've been traveling through the Bible together, and we've arrived. Turn to the last chapter of the book of Revelation, if you would. The ushers have come forward to make sure you have a Bible to study with us. Just raise your hand. They'll count it a privilege to pass the Bible over to you. And if you need to keep that Bible, it's all yours. No charge for it. Take it, use it, wear it out, pass it on to someone else who might need it. But for all of us, let's turn to the book of the Revelation. And after all this long journey, we've arrived at that last chapter, chapter 22. It has been an awesome study, an awesome journey, an awesome book as we consider what's in the future for this world and what's in the future for us as followers of Christ. God has laid out so many awesome things here and so much worth just praising Him for and getting excited about. I hope you're getting excited through our study through this book. But now we come down to this last part of the last chapter of the last book of our Bible. Chapter 22, Revelation. We left off at verse 6. Let's start at verse 6. Then he said to me, "These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. They said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.' And he said to me, 'Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He was unjust, let him be unjust still. He was filthy, let him be filthy still. He was righteous, let him be righteous still. He was holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life and from the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.' Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." Here we have the last words of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible. So this morning I want us to consider just that. What are the last recorded words of the Lord? What is that which he sets before us now as he wraps up the whole thing? This is the word of God, nothing less, nothing more. He has said what he wanted to say and meant what he has said. And now he's coming down to the end. And I want us this morning to consider how our Bible wraps up. What does he emphasize? What an awesome declaration we have before us this morning. Look at the last two verses now. Verses 20 and 21. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming quickly.' Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. You see, the Bible ends with a declaration and an invitation. But the question this morning is this: what will be our response? We have covered much ground, looked at the prophecies and just all these awesome things this book has contained, and what's in every believer's future, and what's in this old tired earth future. All these things we've been looking at. But now we come down to the end. But the question becomes, what's going to be our response to it? He says, he's coming. But the question is, will you be ready for it? Are you really ready for it? And if so, does it change you? What does he hear us proclaiming in response to these declarations? I've called our time together this morning. I am coming quickly. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you that through your word we come to know you, the author of the word. That in your word it's not just a set of nice sayings, but it's alive and active. Truly, it's you, your heart being expressed to our hearts. Lord, just thank you for your word. And as we come down to the end of studying this awesome book, Lord, drive home that which you want us to know and hear. And help us to not just be hearers, then to be doers, Lord. What are we going to do with it? What will be our heart's response to it? Lord, search us now. But Lord, we are just in awe of it all. What love. What awesome care and compassion and comfort and strength you have for us. So Lord, help us lay hold of it and change us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Having given John this awesome revelation of what the future holds, the Lord wraps it all up with these words that we're focusing on. Look at verse 20 with me. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Now, if you have a Bible that puts the words of Jesus in red, you'll notice there are four declarations that Jesus makes in this chapter. And if yours are in red, they're that much easier to spot. But if you scan across there, you'll see there are these four sections in red, four declarations that Jesus makes. I want us to read them real quickly. Now, as we do, I want you to see if you pick up on a theme. See if you notice there's anything in here that I think maybe he wants us to lay hold of something here. Let's just read it, and you see if there's anything in here that maybe you see. The Lord speak to you about a theme through all this. The first one we see in red, if you have a red letter Bible, but the first time Jesus speaks in this last chapter is in verse 7, where Jesus says, behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. The next time Jesus speaks in this chapter is verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give everyone according to his works. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The third time Jesus speaks is found in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the last of the four times he speaks here, again, verse 20, where he says, surely I am coming quickly. Now, there is much in just those four statements. We could probably spend a lot of time just at each one individually. But right now, I just want you to consider this. Having read those four declarations that Jesus makes there, what would you say Jesus wants to make sure that we know and remember? As he's kind of getting ready to kind of sign off in terms of this putting together of his word that we have here, what would you say after reading through this, what would you say he wants us to make sure we know and remember? What do you think it is? In three of the four times that Jesus speaks, he declares what? I am coming. Look at it. Look at verse 7. Behold, I am coming quickly. Verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly. Verse 20. Surely, I am coming quickly. I think he wants us to pick up on something. If God repeats himself, it's for our benefit. And when he says something three times, it must be pretty important, huh? He wants us to know something, to hold on to something, to get excited about something. And notice, as he makes these three statements, notice the sense of urgency in it. Two of the times he says what? Behold. 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 And then the third time he goes to surely. I'm coming quickly. Behold means what? Look. Make sure you see this. Behold. I'm coming quickly. And then he says surely. Surely means what? It is certain. He said it and it will happen. Behold. Behold. Surely. I am coming quickly. Now, don't be confused. Quickly doesn't mean soon in terms of when he said this. If you do a good word study on it, you'll see the word translated quickly there is the word that means that when it begins to happen, it will happen quickly. It will happen in quick succession. That once that rapture occurs, then all these events we've talked about in terms of the tribulation and all, they'll begin to unfold in rapid succession is the idea. So he's coming, and when he does, things are going to happen quickly. But no man knows the day or the hour of the catching up of the church and when all this can start unfolding. And so why the sense of urgency? So we would know that and respond accordingly. He wants us to know that all this could happen at any moment and be ready. We must be ready. So here we see these three of the four declarations here of Jesus in this chapter, and we see that he begins those, he declares in each of those that he is coming again. Now let's look at the fourth one, where he didn't make that statement, but what did he say in that statement? Go to verse 16. This is really good stuff. Well, God's word is always good stuff. This is part of it. Verse 16 is the fourth statement in red, if you will. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So, what's the fourth declaration here that he makes? We see Jesus use his personal name, I, Jesus. He goes on to say, I'm the one who caused this to be recorded. I sent my angel to testify, to tell you these things. To the churches, that's the believers, the body of believers. That's why. And then he makes some declarations about who he is, this root and the offspring and all. But notice that. In his fourth declaration, he says what? I, Jesus. He doesn't use his title here. He doesn't say Christ. Now, we, through time, have come down to kind of call Jesus Christ, like that's his first and last name. But Christ is actually a title. He's Jesus the Christ. He's the Messiah. The anointed one is the idea. His family name wasn't Christ. He wasn't born from Mary Christ. That wasn't the family name. That's the title that describes who he is. But his name is Jesus. And so that's what he uses here. Why is that so important? Think about it. Remember the declaration, the angel even said, the angel declared that they should give Jesus this name. Matthew 1:21, it says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, the name itself, is a contraction of Jehovah is salvation, Yehoshua. Jesus is the idea. His name is his mission. And that's what he addresses himself here. I, Jesus. The one who's come to bring salvation. He uses his personal name because he wants you to hear this as personal. It's from him to you. And that's the idea here. Here, take it personally because that's how he intends it, is the idea. But then look at verse 17, the response to that declaration. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Never, ever get used to or take for granted what's being contained here, what's being declared here, what's contained in that verse, in these verses. Look at the awesome privilege, the calling that God sets before us. What do we see the Holy Spirit respond with here? It says, he says, come. Jesus has been saying, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. Holy Spirit says, come. The bride, that's that name for the believers, the church, the followers of Christ. We've seen that before. They say, come, is a declaration. Then it says, let him who hears say, come. Do you hear? Do we really hear, heart hear, the Lord's heart in all this? Are you hearing him this morning? If so, what will the answer of your heart be? Come, is what we should be declaring. And then in verse 17, and let him who thirst come. What an awesome declaration this is. What an awesome invitation it is. Let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. The Bible ends with the gospel call for all to come. You see, before God closes out the book, he throws out the net one more time. Come. Do you thirst spiritually? When man sinned, way back in the garden, a separation occurred. And it created in man, generic man, man and woman, a need, a thirst, a place that only God can fill, a hunger that only God can satisfy. But what you see, of course, is down through the ages, man looking all around, trying to fill that space, that need, that thirst, that spiritual hunger. And so you see people looking to the things of the culture, looking to experiences, looking to material things, or maybe some earthly relationship and some sort of earthly success, and on it goes. But never to be found, of course, on the horizontal, designed to be found on the vertical with God. And that's the idea, the woman at the well. Remember Jesus said, you drink of the wells of this world, you're going to thirst again. We need to drink of the water, the living water that God is offering. And that's what's being talked about here. Do you heart thirst? Do you soul thirst? If you're here and you have a recognition that something's missing, something's wrong, and I can't seem to find it anywhere around me, that's by design. It's a place that God can only fill, but wants to fill. So what does he say? Come. Jesus declares here, come. Come now and drink. Come now. Before he comes again, come to him. Come to him before it's too late to come. Come to him before it's too late to drink. Come to him before it's too late to live with him forever. So he's throwing out the invitation one more time. And notice what it says. Whoever desires, that's the only qualifier. Not whoever is smart enough, whoever is rich enough, whoever attends church enough, whoever cute enough. Whoever desires, do you recognize your need? Do you recognize your need for forgiveness? Do you recognize the need that you have for him? Then come, whoever desires, it says, let him take the water of life freely. It's an invitation that is open to all. Think of it, as the Bible closes, it doesn't say, not you, and not you. Well, you know what, I think you've got enough money in your bank account, come on in. No, it closes with that open-armed invitation. Come, whoever, come. None are disqualified. None are left out. Jesus declared in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. His arms are open wide. But what will be your answer today? Will you not come? If you've never personally received the work of the cross, there must be a specific time when you did business with Him that you personally prayed, confessed that you're a sinner. Recognize you need the work of the cross. That's only by that shed blood of Jesus applied to you, applied to those sins. Only they wash away sin. Only that will qualify you for heaven. But that will do it. But you must do it. Make sure you do it today. Now, with these declarations, I can understand that there might be someone saying, well, this is really interesting, but he said it a long time ago. I mean, he said this some like 2,000 years ago. Pastor, it hasn't happened yet. See, perhaps some of you are thinking like, he's not coming. Look how long it's been. It's going to keep on being the same. Just as it's been, it's going to keep on being. God's not going to insert himself into time again. He's not going to come here. He's not going to do all this. May I lovingly encourage you, be very careful if you have been drawn into thinking that way. May I also say this, it's not unique to you. For there were those even way back in the first century who were thinking like that. Oh, he's not coming. Things are always going to go on the same as they've been. But listen to what Peter said about that. This is in 2 Peter chapter 3. You can read all of it later, but for time, let me just read verse 9. And addressing those who said, oh, the Lord's not coming. Everything will go on the same. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. That's his promise of return and all. As some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Because he's long-suffering, because of his great love and desire that all would come and not perish, he is waiting. Perhaps he's waiting for you. One of these days, there will be the last person to receive him. God knows who it is. But one of these days, it will reach that time. You see, his arms are open. The invitation is extended, but it's not an open-ended invitation. The time will come when God will say, now. And the age ends. Up goes the believers. And all those events begin to happen quickly, like he said, boom, 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 boom. The judgment of this world and all, as we've been studying here in this awesome, awesome book. So he's waiting, but not waiting forever. So the question remains, are you ready? If you haven't received Christ, you're not ready, but he wants you to be. Whoever desires, it says, the only thing that's required is desire. Do what? Let him take the water of life freely. Let him take it. See, the world's religions and all say, work for it, be good enough, hope you make it. No, it's not make, it's take. It's not earn, it's receive. How? Freely. That's how this Bible is wrapping up. God's call to receive. Now let's go to verse 21. That last verse. After the Lord has said, surely I'm coming quickly, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That's the last verse of the Bible. And how fitting is this? So many things God could have said here. So many things he could have wrapped it up with. He could have pointed this, that, or the other. But what did he point to? He pointed to that which speaks to our great need. What's the last verse of the last chapter, the last book of the Bible about? God's grace. That's fitting because it's been so much about his grace since the beginning. Since the very beginning of creation and man's fall and everything else. God's love expressed in that undeserved favor towards us. God's grace extended to us. Remember this, believer. The Bible ends with God commending his grace to us. That's because that's what we need. And all that we go through and all that we face, God's grace. It sustains, it strengthens, it's so, so important to us. His grace is our strength. His grace is our provision. His grace is our refuge in all we go through. Do you remember what God told Paul? Paul struggled with an infirmity. But as he was struggling with his infirmities, his circumstances, we read this in 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 8. Concerning this thing, Paul writes, concerning this thing I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is the Lord's response to Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So Paul said, therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure, he says, in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. What's his response? In the midst of the circumstances he goes through, God had shown him something. Paul, my grace will be sufficient for you. And all these needs, in these infirmities, these reproaches, these persecutions, these distresses, and all of it, your weakness will reflect my strength, God showed him. So when Paul caught that, when it's going to be something that won't point to him, but it'll point to God. When I think of all that Ben and Laura are going to be facing when they go out now to respond to this call to the ministry, what they go through these things, it'll be by looking to the Lord as they go through it. And they will face things, because we all do. But as they go through it, not relying upon their strength, but God and His provision, His supply, then what? It gives God glory. And that's true for all of us. And that's what Paul learned. Have we learned it? He says here, wow, Lord, since that's how it works, since your grace is sufficient for me, and as I let you hold me right there in your love, in your mercy, in your grace, as you comfort me in these trials, as you strengthen me, all these things, God, since this points to you, since that place where I'm weak is therefore when I'm my strongest, then I'm just going to boast in Him. When's the last time you boasted in your trial? When's the last time you boasted in your need, in your distress? Most of us do what? Lord, are you sure? Lord, get me out of here. I don't like this. But the Lord says, I want to show you something deep. I want to show you something here on how I work. My grace is going to be sufficient. See, that's why He commends it. He wraps up this whole thing by saying, my grace. My grace, my grace. You know, I just read it. Paul, John is declaring this. We read here what Paul just, I think of Peter, that fisherman who learned so much along the way. As he wraps up his second letter, that final letter, and Peter knew what was facing him. But as he wraps it up, he said, look, just grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. Grow in, know better, go deeper and deeper in His grace. See, they learned something. Something we need to learn, and as you learn it, hang on to it. Keep focused on it. And so that's why it's commended to us here, for it fits our very need. As it was for Paul, so it is for us. The Lord's grace is indeed sufficient, more than enough, for our trials, for our journey, for our lives, as we truly look to Him in all we go through. The Bible ends with an awesome declaration. Jesus, three times saying, behold, get ready, because I'm coming again. And when I do, it's going to be quick. It also ends in that invitation. Are you thirsty? Then come and drink freely. And it ends in this awesome call, this proclamation of His grace for each of us. Look at verse 20 with me. After Jesus said, surely I am coming quickly, what do we see John record next? What is John's response? It says, surely I'm coming quickly. And John says, Lord, wait, Lord, don't, not yet. Is that what it says? But it's what we might very well find ourselves sometimes either saying or at least thinking. Lord, not yet. Lord, it's really cool that you're coming. Could you come when I'm like 95 and really sick? And then take us out. But Lord, meanwhile, I got things I want to do. I got plans. I want to achieve this and have that and do this other. As if somehow you're going to rip us off. What does John say? He doesn't say, Lord, I want to do such and such first. I have some plans. Could you hold off? No, he says, amen. That means so be it. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, didn't John have any plan? No, here's the deal. John had been to heaven. John had caught a glimpse of eternity. And so he basically says what? Right on, Lord. Come. Come now. Come soon. Do it. See, no one in heaven will be saying, gee, Lord, any way you can send me back? I want to go back. No matter what you think you have planned for your future, and don't get me wrong, this life journey has many blessings and awesome stuff, but no matter what you think you have planned for your future here, believe me, when you get there, you won't want to come back here. When you get there, you're really not going to say, Lord, I want to take the RV out one more time. It's just so much fun. Everything will fade. There's no comparison. We've seen glimpses of it. And it's almost too much to take in. Think of what the reality will be. John saw it and he said, come, Lord Jesus. What do you say? What do you say with your life? What do you say with your attitudes? We're so busy grasping and hanging on to this world, and wishing we had that, and trying to accumulate other things. And where do you keep a light touch on it all? Where to get and keep God's perspective on it all? May the Lord help us to do that. In verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him we hear say, come. We just saw John there in verse 20 say, come. So again, I put it upon you. What do you say with your life? What do you say with how you relate to others, your attitudes? Are you excited about? Do you look forward to? Are you telling others about the Lord's soon return? This morning, have you taken the water of life? If not, then you need to say, come, Lord Jesus, into my heart. Non-believer, the one who hasn't decided yet, settle the issue and say, come into my heart. Come forgive my sins. Come give me a new birth, a spiritual birth. Come into my heart. Give my life meaning and purpose, Lord. Give me you. Come into my heart, Lord. If you haven't done that, as we wrap it up, go to the prayer room. Find a prayer partner and ask them to pray with you that you might say, Lord, come into my heart and write my name in your book of life. But now, follower of Christ, if you have said, come into my heart to Jesus already, then join with the Spirit. Join with the others in the church, the bride of Christ. Join with John and declare, amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. See, that's what's to mark our attitudes. A looking up, an excitement, a hunger to be home. He who testifies to these things, verse 20, says, surely I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Get invite the worship team up to wrap up our time together. I pray that as we head out, we will be a people very mindful of and walking in and celebrating all that's been declared here. See, thus ends our Bible. Thus ends God's letter to this world. Thus ends God's letter to us. This is the Word of God, nothing less, nothing more. Earlier, speaking about the book of the Revelation, but certainly it could be true for the whole thing, he says what? Don't you be taken from it, and don't you be adding to it. Woe to those who do either. the people who come around to your door on the weekend or whatever, and you know some of those groups who they are, who tell you, well, this isn't quite enough. You need these other books. You need our magazines. Man, would I not want to be in their shoes. God clearly says, I've said what I meant, and I meant what I said. Don't you take away from it. Don't you add to it. And here it is. Now, what are you going to do about it? Are you ready? He is coming. If you're not ready, get ready today. Again, go to the prayer room. See, he's only a prayer away if it's a prayer from your heart. He will come in. But believer, are you ready? I trust you are. That's awesome that you are. Great that you are. But now tell others that his grace is available to all. Whosoever will, whoever desires, come and drink. How? Freely. Let people know. How are they going to know? Unless we live it and tell it. His grace available to all. And that is indeed the gospel. That's the good news. That's the message of the Bible. Think how God ends this revelation, this Bible. Be ready. I'm coming quickly. And then what? Grace. Grace, grace, grace. It's grace that brought me safe this far. It's grace shall lead me home. Amen, he says. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. It's true. It's sure, his word is true and faithful. We know where it all ends. This is our future. This is indeed good stuff. This is good news. Let's pray. Lord, thank you, thank you. Your love pouring forth to us. Your love declared and demonstrated through every word, every page of your word, your love, your grace, freely offered. Thank you for that. Lord, if anyone hasn't received, draw them today. Show them you. Show them your answer. Show them your love, grace, your undeserved favor extended to us. Thank you. And for those who by your mercy we have received, Lord, let us be a people who rejoice in. Let us be a people who declare that good news. And let us be a people excited about. Excited about that which you've declared, that you are coming quickly. Thank you. All this we give you praise and glory for. In Jesus' name, amen.